Masters week is upon us. So we have to preview the Masters with, of course, Alex Myers, who does a great job, senior writer at Golf Digest. Alex, appreciate the time. Happy major season. How are you?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. So we know it doesn't matter how many years he's been in the spotlight, whether he's been great or if he's not himself anymore. We know Tiger's still the story. What are your expectations for Tiger this weekend? Do you think he'll make the cut?
It's hard for me to say that he won't make the cut based on the fact that he made it last year when, you know, we really didn't know if he was going to make the cut. And, you know, he had some interesting comments today. He says his game is better than it was last year at this point, which makes sense. He's obviously played a little more at this point. He says his endurance is better at this point, which is good. But then he said his leg is more sore than it was last point because he's actually done more and practiced and played more. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag from him today. But overall, the fact that he thinks his game is in a better place than it was last year when he easily made the cut last year and then, of course, you know, slowed down on the weekend. I think it would be disappointing for him to not make the cut. I think, realistically, it's tough for me to think that he's going to contend or anything. And I know he probably thinks he might. But I think even realistically down low, deep down inside, anything better than making the cut and better than, 47th last year would be a nice week for him.
He's my favorite golfer ever. He's why I love the sport. But
yeah.
If we actually injected him with true serum, do you actually think he believes that he could still win this tournament this year?
You know, this tournament might be the only one that he would, if you injected him with the true serum, he might still give you an answer that yes, because as he talked about today, you know, there's a history of older players doing well here. Maybe not winning here, but certainly he pointed out Fred Couples, Bernhard Langer, you know, have been able to make somewhat runs on Sunday into their 50s. Tiger, of course, is 47. Of course, neither of those guys went through a car accident quite like Tiger did and nearly have to have your leg amputated. So a little bit of a different story. But I think this is the course, especially of all the majors, that rewards experience the most. Of course, they play it every year. So this is the place for him to do it. Of course, we saw him do it in 2019 before the accident, but post back surgery. So, the truth serum, I'm not sure if you would actually believe it, but of all the places, it would be at Augusta National.
Alex Myers here with us. Is Phil Mickelson going to be a coward the entire week and not talk to the media like he elected not to do today?
He didn't do the press conference. He actually did answer a couple questions in the flash area, which I was surprised by because, I would have thought that once you don't do the official press conference that you would just kind of duck out. But, it's interesting with Phil because it's just so crazy to think, just going back to 2021, when he wins at Kiawa, that he's, as popular as he's ever been, he's kind of got the whole country on his side. He's the most popular athlete on the planet for a couple days there when he wins that PGA Championship, at the age of 50. And now he's kind of this guy who, he's kind of ducking the media here and there. It's not even like people really even want to see him though as much. The crowds aren't there for him. Last year at the Open when Tiger got that great send off potentially at St. Andrews, Phil was playing right behind him, and there was no one there to watch him. And it's like, this is Phil Mickelson. He's one of the great players of this era of all time, one of the most popular players. And, this move to live and kind of falling off the face of the map, it's just been a bizarre couple years for him.
It's funny how much a difference a year makes. Like, a year ago, I'd be like, screw the live golf guys. I like Rory McIlroy. I hope he sticks it to all them and everything. Now, like, they've been so irrelevant. I know they got their money. God bless them, whatever. But they've been so irrelevant. Like, I know it's a story heading into this weekend, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as I thought it was going to be if you asked me a few months ago.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, the biggest storyline you're kind of hearing is just because Brooks Koepka won last week, and it kind of was like, oh, he's the first guy to win twice there. Maybe he's over the injuries. Of course, we all know that he won the four majors in basically a two-year span, and he kind of was that guy who became the big game hunter of all the top guys. So just because he won last week, I guess you do have that storyline of, oh, wow, can these LIV guys compete? And, you know, I do think it's a little overrated. I think we're not far enough removed from them playing a full-time PGA Tour schedule and whatnot to have lost all of their competitive edge, for sure. I mean, I'm shocked when I see some of the odds on Cam Smith, for instance. I mean, when he won the British Open last year, having had two great runs at the Masters previously, I mean, he was in the final group last year with Scottie Scheffler, you would have thought he'd be one of the top two or three favorites for the Masters. I'm seeing him at 30-1, 35-1. It's like, it's not like this guy doesn't play golf anymore. I mean, you know, so again, we're going to have to see how these guys do. Now, if none of these guys contend at a major this year, then you have to say, okay, well, the move to LIV really, you know, sabotaged their career, at least in terms of majors. But I think for now, the book is still open. I think a guy like Brooks has been hurt, injured. A guy like Cam Smith is still in his prime. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to see, especially Smith, contend this week.
If you had to just pick one LIV golfer to win the Masters outright, who would that be this weekend?
Cam Smith, for sure. I mean, again, okay. Just, you know, he became the first guy, I know it was the November Masters, but he became the first guy to shoot four rounds in the 60s in 1 week. And then he came back last year and was in that final group. And, you know, if Scottie Scheffler doesn't drill the stick and drop in for that magical birdie on the third hole, who knows how this thing goes. It could have gone a lot differently last year. You know, we could have talked about Cam Smith winning the Masters, a Players and a British Open last year. So I think he's got a great record here. The only thing that scares me a little with him specifically is, you know, all the rain that's expected. You know, we've always talked about him as having this great short game and being able to play kind of these fast courses. If Augusta's going to get that soggy over the weekend, then maybe that takes away a little of his advantage. And then maybe it shifts more to a DJ or someone like that. Obviously, DJ won in November when the conditions were a little softer. But of all the LIV guys, even with Brooks coming off that win last week, I still like Cam Smith just based on his track record here.
Alex Myers, if you just had to pick between Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm to win this weekend, who would it be?
Oh, so tough. So tough, Zach. It really is. You know, Rahm is a guy who I believe maybe 5 years ago I just said I'm going to pick him until he wins. So I got to kind of stick with that. But it's tough to go against Scottie Scheffler based on the fact that he is the defending champ. He is kind of the guy that no matter what he does, for whatever reason, he doesn't quite get that same respect as a Jon Rahm, as a Rory McIlroy. You know, he's won six times in a little over a year, and all six of those events have been big time events. So he deserves to be the favorite, but just because I don't want to miss out on the Rahm win when he finally does, I'll stick with Jon Rahm.
I'll say this: you always say you pick Jon Rahm, like you just said. The guy I always pick is Patrick Cantlay. Now, the last 3 years, every major I pick three guys just to win the tournament outright. I've hit on Morikawa and then Fitzpatrick last year because Steve Sands just gave me a great assist on the air, and I just said, okay, nice. I'll go with whatever Sandsy says. But what's going on with Cantlay? Because we know how great of a golfer he is, but he's losing me even when it comes to these majors. And I know if I don't bet him for this tournament, he'll win the Masters this week.
He'll win the Masters. Zach, I wish I could explain it. You know, I was on him in 2019. I think he was 80-1 or something crazy, and he took the lead briefly with that run, right?
He almost retired. Golf Digest, nice knowing you.
Exactly. And then since then, I think he somehow even stumbled on the last hole or two because I think he only finished like tied for ninth or something. He hasn't had a top 10 at a major since then. And meanwhile, what's really bizarre is that he's actually started to win other events in that period. You know, for a while it was like he's this great player, but he's not really winning. Then all of a sudden he started winning a lot, but then not contending at all at majors. So I really wish I had an answer. It's bizarre. He seems to have all the tools to play anywhere, but certainly at Augusta. And for that reason, for that major reason, I find myself staying away from him. I just can't, you know, it's since that time that he made that one run and really got close. It's been tough for me to back him.
I'll tell you this, maybe it's just because I'm a Tiger guy. For the longest time, and I felt like I was on an island, I just did not like Rory McIlroy. And the last 2 years, I find myself rooting for Rory. And we know he hasn't won a major since 2014. It's been crazy. It's been that long. If I had to make one pick this weekend, I really hope that it's Rory McIlroy.
You know, it's interesting. I kind of line up with you on that, because when Rory obviously started to win these majors at a young age, and not only win them, but win in dominant fashion by 8 shots his first 2 majors, he was getting those Tiger comparisons. And yeah, you know, I grew up as watching Tiger. He got me into golf and everything. And you're right. It was kind of like he's stepping on Tiger's toes. So I didn't like him first either as much, or I was kind of saying, slow down, Rory. Like, let's not go crazy here. But the fact that he hasn't won a major since 2014 is absolutely bananas. He's won everything else multiple times, basically, in that span. And, you know, as much as I never pick him here, again, if it really does rain as much as they're saying, that plays into his hands. I mean, we've seen him play, you know, when he won that first major, you know, it was a very wet congressional. Obviously, Akiwa, there was the day that got, like, kind of wiped out there. It was very wet. He won there. Those are the 2 majors he won by 8 shots. So, you know, these are conditions that definitely, I think, help him. And he's very confident. I mean, he said today no one knows this course as well, you know, better than him. I mean, I think Tiger Woods does, but, you know, you get the point. He's played here 15 times. It's crazy. I mean, you know, he's 33 years old, but he's been here so many times. And that experience definitely counts for something here. So, you know, that with the rain, everything else, you know, I could kind of see it. I could see it.
Wrap it up with Alex Myers, who joins us right now as we preview the Masters. The last few years, so many people have fallen in love with Will Zalatoris, and then also Colin Morikawa, who's won 2 majors. How do you look at both of their chances head into this weekend?
Yeah, so Colin Morikawa is one of my 5 picks, and actually might be my top guy just based on the odds. I just don't think he's getting – I actually think you're getting fair odds with him, whereas, you know, some of these top guns are – you're not getting the quite the fair number. So I think Morikawa in that, I think it's like 22, 24 range. I kind of like that. Zalatoris, you know, it's interesting. He keeps sliding down the board. We know he finished runner-up in his debut. He came back last year, finished 6th. You know, he's had the back issues, played well at Riviera this year, but hasn't done anything the last couple months. And then today he comes out and says he's changing his putting grip, and he's modeling it after – well, his coach at Wake Forest, Jerry Haas, is one thing. And then Vijay Singh. And I'm like, I've never heard anybody kind of model their putting after Vijay Singh. So now, to be fair, Vijay did win a Masters. But to me, that just is not a great sign. And I think even the bookies kind of smell that. They're kind of lowering the odds, almost suckering you in. So, again, I'd love to be wrong. I'm a Wake Forest guy like Will Zalatoris, but of those two guys that you mentioned, I really love Morikawa, and I'm definitely staying away from Zalatoris.
It's kind of weird to have a popular long shot, but two names that I keep on seeing on every article, Alex Myers does a great job, a senior writer for Golf Digest, we preview the Masters, is Sungjae Im and then also Shane Lowry. Now, we know Sungjae Im in 2020 tied for 2nd, last year tied for 8th, and then for Shane Lowry last year, he tied for 3rd. How about those two guys' chances?
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. I mean, they're definitely popular picks for sure. They're not in my top 5. I don't know how anyone really would put them in their top 5, but, you know, certainly they've had great events here. Sungjae Im, the one time was in November, so I don't know if you maybe take that with a little bit of, you know, grain of salt there. But, I'm looking elsewhere, but certainly maybe a top 10 bet with those two guys. They seem pretty safe. They're very steady players, and they have the track records here to back it up.
So if you had to give me 3 picks to outright win, who are your 3 picks?
I guess I'd go Rahm, Morikawa. Let's take Scotty Scheffler out of the mix. It's not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, he's too good. And Xander. I'm going Xander, my guy. He's going to do it one of these days. Maybe this is the week.
Before we let you run, what is it like covering Scotty Scheffler? Because we know how dominant he's been, but there's really not much personality there.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair assessment. You know, I'd like to say it's tough, but it's not, because he still does give you some stuff, and he gives you great, like, honest answers. He's just, for whatever reason, not the most exciting guy. I mean, we did a video with him, and he answered all these questions about The Office, his favorite show. And he was great in the video. And he's like the Office, you know, expert. And that's just the kind of guy he is. He plays golf. He goes back to his house. He watches The Office. it helps him relax, whatever. He's just kind of like a normal guy. So I think they're definitely more exciting guys to cover, but of the guys who are, you know, not flashy, I still think he gives enough goods that, you know, you like him. You kind of pull for him. So I'm a Scotty guy.
Anything else that really stands out to you with this field that we didn't cover?
Well, you know, I mean, again, obviously, I think, you know, the Liv guys is the big storyline other than Tiger. We've kind of talked about both those things. I got to say, Tiger, it was the most, you know, we've seen him in the last couple of years, you know, have that appreciative angle. But I think today was even the most I've seen him kind of display that. And in a way, it's cool, but in a way, it's a little sad, too, because, you know, he's talking about getting on the senior tour and getting a buggy, you know, a.k.a. a golf cart to play with. It's just kind of...
Did he really? I remember the John Daly comments back at, what was that, the PGA Championship at Bethpage
Black. That's right. Yeah, he said, no, I've got a couple more years till I've got a buggy.
Wow.
So he, you know, he's kind of playing into that. You know, he's getting near 50. It's just interesting to hear him talk like that. You know, you mentioned again that last year was a small victory, just making the cut. You know, these are things that we would never hear him say in the past. So in one way, it's kind of cool. It's kind of endearing. And another way, you know, as Tiger fans, like we both are, it's a little sad because you kind of really realize that this window is probably closing up. But, look, I think we all would love to see him make at least one more run. And again, this is the place probably where it could happen.
Senior writer at Golf Digest, he's Alex Myers. Alex, appreciate the insight as always.
You got it, Zach. Take care. Enjoy the golf.
You got it. You as well. Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Take a timeout. Come on back after these short messages.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You know who's in a good spot actually right now, Hickey?
Who is that?
Alex Myers, who just joined us.
Why is that?
And I'm very annoyed that he did not tell me this while he was on the air with us. He is currently at a restaurant. I'm going to have to, not that you're the best in dissecting food, but the Masters dinner with all the past Masters champions is going on right now. And Alex Myers just tweeted out as he hung up the phone with us, like phone click, and then I see this on my Twitter feed 5 seconds later. Having our own champions dinner down the road from Augusta National, Scottie Scheffler's chocolate chip skillet cookie has nothing on the Chili's version of the cookie. Did you get the text message that I just sent you with the Alex Myers tweet?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
So that is a delicious looking cookie. What the heck is that to the left?
Ice cream.
That's ice cream?
Yeah. Now, I don't know why it's packaged like this. This is unfortunately Chili's not being as good as Applebee's. Applebee's will give you the skill right there in front of you. Chili's, pack it all up.
Now, I'm going to try to remain neutral here just in case if either will ever want to sponsor me. But I will say, back in the day, the two apps for the price of one, I think it was?
Twofer.
Yeah, or, you know, that was Panera. Maybe it was half-off apps at Applebee's?
That was, yes, half-off apps after 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
Let me
or
tell you.
Wherever you were locally.
Applebee's was a spot when you were in high school.
You're telling me?
It went from Friendly's when you were in middle school and then Applebee's in high school. But and now the more... I kid you. I knew on the right there was like a little circular cup of chocolate syrup. I knew what that was. On the left, I'm like, why do they give him a side of butter?
Now, the only thing I will give Chili's, I guess, maybe the benefit of the doubt of, because we don't know, is if Alex did this takeout instead of sitting down at the restaurant. It didn't sound like he was in a restaurant, so maybe he just ordered this to his hotel room.
Probably.
And that's the delivery, which I can't get on Chili's for, because what else are you going to do? But if you're going to order Chili's, maybe next time go in person.
Oh, you're saying just eat it there?
I mean, you look at that, and again, Chili's doing the best they can. If this was order out,
yeah,
it's just not the same. Not the same.
Well, for a dessert like that, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You got to have it. You know, it's either hot in person, or maybe you pass on it and you go, I don't know, if there's an ice cream store. I've never been to Augusta. Oh, there's a local creamery there. Maybe a sweet shop, something like that.
Oh, I'm sure you could get some peaches and things like that.
So I'm just saying. On it. It's
a little peach cobbler.
Imagine that's what they actually were serving at the Masters dinner. No, they're not, but.
No, I could guarantee the food is very good there. And I could tell you this, If it's not good food, they'll have a lot of liquor to make you think it's good food. There is no doubt about that. My favorite part about the Masters, and honestly, I don't know about you, is there one sporting event that you have in your mind that you have not been able to go to that you would be dying to go to? Like, I've been to March Madness games from the first round all the way through the Elite Eight. I've never been to a Final Four. But honestly, unless I have a great seat, I think the Final Four actually in person is not that great just because it's in a football stadium. And some of the views that I saw of people even behind the basket last night, it was tough to watch. I've been to a Super Bowl. I've been to pretty much everywhere you could go in terms of Stanley Cup and NHL playoffs. I've been to the World Series. I really do think if there's one sporting event that I've not been able to go to that is on my bucket list and it's impossible to get tickets, is the Masters. What is the one sporting event that you've not been able to go to, Hickey, that you're just like craving to go to that's at the top of that list?
I don't know about craving. Like, probably the Masters are up there because it's very cool. Like, I'd love to go to Super Bowl one day, but it's one of those things where I want to go if my team's in it.
Okay.
I don't want to go just to watch two random teams for the most part. So it's like, I would love to go to a Super Bowl.
So you won't be going to a Super Bowl anytime soon is what you're saying.
But I'd love to go to one, had the first one be when the Colts are in it.
Yeah.
Hopefully when, you know.
You may be dead.
If Anthony Richardson pans out 3 years from now, we'll get crazy and, you know. I don't know. I guess I may be looking at, you know, advanced sites.
You may be in a diaper when that happens.
It won't
happens.
Be in Vegas, I'll tell you that. But outside, after Vegas, no promises after that.
Yeah, so I would want to go to the Masters, and here's why. Have you seen the menu for the Masters?
I've seen the prices, and I've also seen the menu.
Egg
One
salad
is great.
Sandwich.
Jeez.
$1.50. Delicious. Pimento cheese, $1.50. A barbecue sandwich, $3. Masters Club, $3. Chicken salad, $3. Classic chicken sandwich, $3. Ham and cheese on rye, $3. Breakfast, which is only served until 10 a.m. Masters Blend fresh brewed coffee, $1.50. Chicken biscuit, $2. Breakfast sandwich, I'm assuming that's bacon, egg, and cheese, $3. Blueberry muffin, $1.50. Fresh mixed fruit, $2. Beverages, soft drink, $2. Bottle water, $2. Fresh brewed iced tea, $2. Beer, $5. Wine, $6. Snacks, chips, peanuts, mini moon pie, cookies, and a Georgia pecan caramel popcorn. Oh, that sounds good. All $1.50. I would be in heaven. I understand the golf, and that would be wonderful. And obviously, the scenery of Augusta. And to be a patron, let me do it correctly, but I think I'd be a slob of a patron. I'd be like Peter Schwartz going to one of these freebie events because it's pretty much practically free when the prices are that low at Augusta.
You can get one of everything for $66.
Get three of everything,
not
honestly.
Bad. So you're saying you'd be like George Costanza in the one scene where he's sitting there eating the ice cream all over his face at like a tennis match?
I'd be a slob.
They're going to go like the eighth hole, pan out. Oh, let's look at the Patriots. And there's just Zach just knee deep in an egg sandwich with one hand, buffalo chicken sandwich in another with like ice cream in the middle.
Yeah, the Georgia pecan caramel popcorn? Sign me up. $1.50? I think I'd go through 10 of them. I'm not even kidding. And beer is only $5? Now,
I think they throw you out if you're rowdy, right? Like they
yes.
are very strict.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe you got to curb the beer intake because I don't think they really mess around.
No, I think I could conduct myself. I think people just be like, oh, there's that slob, not, oh, there's that drunk. I think
okay.
it could be a total difference with this menu at Augusta. All right, I want to hear two audio clips before we take the break and then get it to the closing bell. Let's listen up. This is Tiger Woods. We were talking about this, Alex Myers. We'll play the audio. He's asked if he's thought about this potentially being his final Masters.
Yes, it has. I didn't know. I mean, last year was kind of a didn't know if I was going to play again at that time. For some reason, everything kind of came together. And I kind of pushed it a little bit, and I was able to make the cut, which was nice. And I don't know how many more I have in me. So. Just to be able to appreciate the time that I have here and cherish the memories.
So we all know what Tiger went through. And it was crazy last year how he was even able to play and then also make the cut. and get through four rounds. It was just remarkable. I hear that answer, Hickey, and I am a huge Tiger Woods fan. I don't sound all that encouraged. And I think Tiger is even starting to realize, he used to have like the most confidence in the world, that clearly his better days are behind him, but his days of winning these major championships, because forever, with everything that happened inside and outside of his home before the accident, it was injuries, it was mental, and what he was going through, all his own wrongdoing from the family side of it, and it was okay. He could still think he'll get back there. And then I remember there was like one time he's like 17 over or something at a tournament. It's like, who are we kidding? And then he has that great run at the Masters where he wins. And that was like, okay, he's back. Now, how far can he take this? Then you have the accident. And once the accident happened and he almost died, it's like, I just want him to be able to walk again. And the fact that he's playing, you should be appreciative of that. But with that being said, you hear that answer from Tiger, that doesn't even make me feel. And I know he made the cut last year, and I'm not saying he's going to miss the cut, because we know how well he knows this course, but I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest if he does miss the cut this weekend. That was like the first time you kind of hear Tiger sound like a regular guy, and you know he's the farthest thing from a regular guy with the mentality that made him great.
I actually feel bad for Tiger, in a sense, just because, like I said, the fact that you were having this conversation of, oh man, like he's probably not going to make the cut, and it's almost has like a disappointing tone to it. The fact that he's still walking, like he has all his digits and all his limbs on him right now with all the accidents he's gone through and surgeries. The fact he could still just walk and even play the game at a high enough level to qualify and feel good about playing 72 holes over 4 days, it's nothing short of a miracle.
And I didn't hear the context of it, but when Alex Meyer said, he basically said he's going to need to use a cart soon, like he ripped. I was at that press conference, and he basically said he would never do it. When John Daly has been using a cart, obviously with his leg condition right now, and just to hear him say that kind of shows how vulnerable he is right now. All righty, this is a totally different topic. Craig Carden, who works down the hall and also works for Fox Sports 1 as well, he says he's been told that the 49ers are interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers. Listen up.
And Aaron Rodgers would absolutely want to play for this franchise. The franchise is the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Rodgers is from the area, all right? And has always said, you know, I might want to go home one day. Now, he famously also said, I want to screw it to San Francisco for not drafting me.
Right.
Well, he's already done that, okay? So here's the reality. San Francisco does not have a first-round draft pick in this draft. They gave them all away to get Trey Lance. They do, however, because of compensatory picks, have like 5 third-round picks. So the conversation has been multiple third-round picks in this draft and a first-round draft pick in next year's draft. If this happens, the New York Jets no longer exist as a franchise.
I would be shocked if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing for the Jets this year. But it is weird, Hickey, how we still have not got a deal done yet. I would have thought by now that the deal would be done with, because the Packers really don't have much leverage and the Jets really don't have much leverage. But now Craig's throwing out the 49ers. I don't see how that happens this late in the game. And also, if you're the 49ers, I know it's a shorter investment with Rodgers, but I threw out a few months ago the idea of maybe them going for Lamar Jackson this offseason. Like, no sourcing, just an idea. If I'm the 49ers, Hickey, I'd much rather pursue Lamar Jackson at this stage of the game than it would be Aaron Rodgers.
I guess what I don't like, and from the 49ers perspective with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know how they fit him under the cap, and maybe I'm just focused on that too much. Like, I get, I know, you're throwing your hands up, and you're right.
No, I'm serious. Every year they tell me the Saints are way over the cap. They're never going to be able to get under the cap, and they get under the cap, and they add people. Makes no sense.
But this goes back to why I still think the Packers have leverage. It may not be the 49ers, it may not be realistic, but if another team comes in and Aaron Rodgers is willing to go play for them, like, if you're the Packers, like, the Jets have nowhere else to go. So if you're Green Bay, there's no reason to fold to what the Jets want to offer you, because there's a chance that another team could come in and say, oh, it takes a first-round pick to Aaron Rodgers. The Jets won't do it. We will. And then there you go.
It really could only be two teams. It could be the 49ers, which I don't think they're doing that. Or it could be the Patriots if Bill wants to give a middle finger to the Jets one more time. But we had Ted Johnson on earlier when I threw out that conspiracy theory to him or that idea that I had. You know, would Bill maybe make a call to see if Aaron Rodgers is available on the report that he's been shopping Mac Jones this offseason from Pro Football Talk? And even Ted Johnson said he can't see that. He can't see Bill shelling out the cash for Aaron Rodgers with picks at this stage of the game. So I don't think there's a team out there. And I think everyone in the league knows it's getting done. Jets and the Packers. And we could throw it out. We could talk about the Packers having leverage. I really don't think one side has leverage over the other. Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. The Packers don't want him anymore. We know he wants to go to the Jets. That's a team that he's pretty much already signed on for. And they just have to get the deal done. I don't think there's going back for either party at this point. Because you just said it. The Packers get another phone call from another team. If he doesn't want to go there, there's no deal. And I think Aaron has already committed to the Jets pretty much, where he said, my intentions are to play for the Jets. Now, you can go back on that. I get it. But I don't think he's going to go back on that. I don't.
Would you be shocked if Aaron Rodgers pivots?
In this case, yes. And don't get me wrong. I have zero reason to trust Aaron Rodgers. But when you already pretty much, not that Alan Lazard is the end all be all, but Alan Lazard's there. Odell, I guess he got an offer from the Ravens from what I was seeing today on social media. Who knows if that's true? But everyone kind of feels like Odell's going to be a Jet. I would be very surprised at this point if Aaron Rodgers isn't a Jet. I'd be shocked. Like, I don't get anyone to expect anything otherwise. I think all the rest of it is just kind of hot air and really just loud noises being said. And we all know what's going to be the end outcome. It's going to be Rodgers with the Jets. You know who I would pay, though? You know what I would want to see, though, if Rodgers doesn't go to the Jets?
Who and where?
Did you hear what Mike Greenberg said he would do in the Pat McAfee show?
What he would do?
Yeah.
If they don't get Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. This is such an old guy.
Uh-oh.
And I know Greenberg is a legend in this industry, but it just shows you how old school broadcaster he is. He said, Pat, I'll come on your show and use the F word. Ooh. Mike Greenberg's going to use the F word. Be like one thing if he said, I'm going to do it on my terrestrial radio show on ESPN or get on Get Up and drop an F-bomb on the McAfee show. That's every third word.
8.01 a.m. Eastern on Get Up. Here's Mike Greenberg about to just rip off 10 F-bombs in a row.
No, he said he would do it only on the McAfee show.
Wow. You really?
Tell me another
Aaron Rodgers.
And why. Come on. What
you really enraged
here?
Mike Greenberg. Don't let that happen. Please, Aaron, for the children, go to the Jets.
You have one thing. Ahead of Mike Greenberg. You cursed on the radio.
That's right. Take that, Mike.
Mike Greenberg. I'm still creeped out by him, by the way.
With his
when we saw
morning
him,
after the draft order?
Yeah, when we saw him at the airport, he was on the same flight as us, and he ordered a bagel with butter and then melted the cheese on top of the butter.
Munster cheese, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like American.
And then we had Golic
on. Or cheddar.
And Golic said, yeah, he eats wings, I think, with a fork and a knife. But if you eat wings with a fork and a knife, you got problems. I know that's normal for you, Hickey, because you eat boneless
wings.
No,
I do not. I will eat regular bone and wings with my hands. Please, I'm no...
I don't know. You do
I'm
have
tough.
A bandage on your thumb right now where you
almost
cut
off
a wing
my thumb
this weekend and almost cut off your thumb while
shows
using it.
Shows how tough I am. Cut off my thumb and I'm still here.
Oh, stop
I got a stump right now.
You're the farthest thing from being tough.
I eat wings with my hands, and I cut my thumb off, and I'm still at work. No days off. No workers' comp. No sick days.
Hey, Marco, do you think Hickey's tough?
Yeah, no.
All right, that's all I need.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
UConn, a blue blood. Hickey, are you ready to say it? Because you gave me some resistance last week when I told you that.
No, I'm not ready to say it.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Everyone keeps pointing championships. How about consistency? Can't be a blue blood when you're irrelevant half the time.
What do you mean irrelevant half the time? They've won five championships.
Yeah, and guess what? They miss a tournament every other time. You're irrelevant half the time.
Oh, my God. This may be your worst take ever.
Since 2004, when they won their championship, they had missed the tournament seven times. The real blue bloods, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, UNC, have combined to miss a tournament six times.
So that makes it even more impressive that so they continue to win.
Their championships are very impressive. Not taking anything away from them. But I think part of being a blue blood is being in the picture every year. And when UConn's irrelevant half the time, I can't consider them a blue blood when they're not even talking about them.
So after it got a little messy after Kevin Ollie left, and now they've brought it back. That little gap is why they can't be a blue blood in your mind.
Again, yeah, they don't make much noise in the tournament.
99, 2004, 2009, 2011, 2014, 2023. Elite eights. Since 99, 2002, 2004, 2006, 2009, 2011, 2014, and obviously this past year. Sweet 16s since 1999. 99, 02, 03, 04, 06, 09, 11, 14, 2023. Come on, they got five championships. That's the five champions, the same level as Duke. And you're telling me that they're not a blue blood? There's only one, two, three programs that have more championships. So, all right. Whatever. You're going to tell me that out of blue blood. You die on that hill. That's fine by me. Let's hear Kevin Kugler on Westwood One as the game was winding on down.
Rebound to Hurley for UConn. And how fitting. The coach's son is going to dribble out his dad's championship. 76-59. Every dog has his day. And this day belongs to the Huskies. UConn has its fifth national championship in school history.
The Defensive Play of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. UConn's big man, Adamus Onogo, dominated one final time in this tournament, grabbing 10 rebounds and blocking one shot while scoring 17 points in the Huskies' 76-59 victory over San Diego State. Sonogo was named the Final Four's most outstanding player and became just the fourth player in NCAA tournament history to average more than 20 points per game and shoot better than 65% from the field. Give a stock up to the UConn Huskies, who are a blue blood. Let's hear from Caitlin Clark. Play these clips back to back. Caitlin Clark says Iowa shouldn't go to the White House, courtesy of Outside the Lines. And then Caitlin Clark says she has no problem with Angel Reese, because emotions need to be a part of the game.
I think men have always had trash talk. You know, that's what it's been. And I think more and more people, as they turn on the game, they're appreciating it for what it is. You know, I'm just lucky enough that I get to play this game and have emotion and wear it on my sleeves. And so does everybody else. So that should never be torn down. That should never, you know, be criticized, because I believe that's what makes this game so fun. That's what draws people to this game. That's what draws it to the pro level, to college level, to the high school level. So either way, it doesn't matter. You know, you should be able to play with that emotion. That's what makes it so fun. Nobody wants to tune in and not see people, you know, be competitive and passionate about what they're doing across any sport. That's how it should be. So I believe that's, you know, what it should be. And that's how I'm going to continue to play. That's how every girl should continue to play. So I'm just lucky enough that, you know, we have fans support us and, you know, want to watch that type of basketball. I don't think runner-ups usually go to the White House. I think LSU should, you know, enjoy that moment for them. And congratulations, obviously, they deserve to go there. Maybe I could go to the White House on different terms, though. But, you know, I think, you know, that's for LSU. So, you know, that's a pretty cool moment, and they should enjoy every single, you know, second of being a champion.
The last 24 to 48 hours have just been a giant waste of time in this conversation. And I hope Caitlin Clark basically saying there should be no backlash to Angel Reese and how Iowa shouldn't go to the White House just puts this all to rest, this nonsense. So I like the way that Caitlin Clark handled that. Give her a stock up. Did you hear Luka Doncic? How much do you miss Jalen Brunson? A lot. How about that? Jalen Brunson, the stock just continues to keep on booming. Give him a stock up. And finally, the UFC and WWE combined to create a $21.4 billion entertainment company. Here's the one problem. I saw this viral photo of Vince McMahon. He looks horrible. And I didn't know who it was in the photo, and Vince McMahon is very recognizable. It's almost like he's intentionally trying to get work done to his body to make him look worse. But man, that was an ugly shot of Vince McMahon. Give him a stock down. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Ted Johnson for stopping by, Terrence Oglesby, and Alex Myers. Hickey, thank you for contributing to the program, as always, outside of your ridiculous UConn take. Hickey will be hosting tomorrow. I'll be back on Thursday. If you do anything that says UConn isn't a blue blood tomorrow, you're done. You're finished. All right, bye-bye. Peace.